This is Carl the Jackal Frampton.
Hi, this is David Healy.
Hello, this is Stephen Ferris.
Hi, I'm Bethany Ferris.
Hi, this is Joey Barton.
I'm Jonas Gutierrez.
Hi, this is Harry Kuehl.
And you're listening to The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Hello and welcome to The Score with me, Michael Clark. Coming up on the programme today, the Irish Premiership might be on pause this week, but that doesn't mean there isn't a lot to discuss. Are we heading towards curtailment? Will the Championship and PIL seasons ever start? These are testing times, but thankfully the IFA and NIFL have announced testing will be introduced in the top flight. Joining me on the show is journalist and sports editor Keith Bailey. And we'll also be talking to ARD's chairman, Warren Patton.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Yes, hello and welcome to The Score, our first show of 2021. And there's plenty to get through today and helping me contextualise what's been going on in the Irish League. Obviously, the Irish Premiership has hit the pause button. It's back next weekend, but that doesn't mean that there isn't a lot to cover. And what of the Championship and the Premier Intermediate League? I feel like that's the questions we keep getting sent, we keep being asked. So we will be talking about that here on the programme. Joining me to help me do that is the sports editor of the County Down Spectator and the Newton Arts Chronicle, Keith Bailey. Keith, welcome back onto The Score.
Nice to be here, Michael. Thank you.
It's good to have you on again. And there's been so much that has happened. And I guess this is one of these seasons where it feels like every few weeks, an explainer almost needs to come out for fans because they don't really know where they are.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. And explainer is the right word for it. It's been a very difficult season. I think it's been a very unenjoyable season for almost everybody involved. We're very lucky in the sense that we have had, 12 rounds of the Danske Bank Premiership at this point. And, you know, Premiership clubs should be grateful for that. In a sense, it's a privilege to be able to play when so little other sport is going on in Northern Ireland and so much in Northern Ireland has stopped. It's great that the Premiership has been able to get to this stage. And I don't think we should lose sight of this. But at the same time, I think for fans, it's a very unenjoyable season because as much as we all like to talk about how the Irish League has improved and how the standard's great compared to maybe where it used to be, at the same time, what makes the Irish League special is community and is that ability to travel on a bus with your mates, to go for a pint before the game, to meet up with old friends that you only see every Saturday. And that's all been stripped out of it. Of course, we have had some games that have had crowds at it going back a few months, but I don't think they're going to come back anytime soon. So it's been a tough year, I think, for everybody involved in Irish League football at all the various levels. And don't think it's going to go back to normality anytime in the immediate future.
And I guess that is where you have to commend the clubs for how they've adapted and responded to this to get to the stage in the season that we are at, because it's been a huge undertaking and I don't think we should lose sight of that.
No, a massive amount of effort has gone in from each of the 12 Premiership clubs to ensure that the fixtures can go ahead. NIFL have obviously played their part as of the IFA, and we've seen that with the testing that's going to be introduced in the coming week. It is a huge undertaking for those 12 clubs and one that's come at great expense. So while it is a privilege that they've been able to play on and from Saturday the 23rd of this month we'll be able to resume again. It's also been very difficult at the same time, so it gives and it takes.
As anyone knows me knows, I have plenty of thoughts and opinions, but I try not to be too outspoken about them, and I try and let things take their course. I prefer asking the questions where possible, but you know, even I had to say on social media when I saw that the EFL was bringing in testing for 72 clubs that surely the top league in Northern Ireland should be looking at doing the same for their players and officials. And it's very welcome news that came out last night on Thursday night, depending on when you're listening to this, that they were going to do that effective next week. So it's going to come in a round of testing before the first set of games are played on the 23rd. and then they're going to have it in place for the next few weeks after that and then review it. So it's encouraging that in a time when the amount of people, unfortunately, with coronavirus is up, when the R number was increasing, although it's come back down the last couple of days, when all these things are going on, that the league is protecting its players, which, I mean, it has to do, surely. It must do, and it's recognised that.
Yes, I think this is a step forward, a step in the right direction by the Northern Ireland Football League and, of course, the Irish Football Association who have helped them with this project. We're going to have 4 weeks' worth of testing. Now, some may argue that this is something that should have happened before, but of course they were never under any instructions. There was never any assertion that they had to have testing to continue elite sport. And it's an incredibly expensive process. I mean, I believe it's around £80 per test, which is, you know, when you think you've 25 plus people in each squad and you're going to be doing that four times or maybe perhaps more over the coming weeks, and that mounts up very quickly. So it's an incredibly expensive process, and I think it's one that, you know, ideally the Premiership clubs would rather not have done, but we've got to the stage with the way things are in Northern Ireland, or at least the way they've been in the last 3 or 4 weeks, that really, if we want football at the top flight in this country to continue, that it had to happen. So NIFL have stepped in, they've introduced this, and I think it was really essential. They should be congratulated for it, but at the same time, you've got to recognise that this had to happen, or else we just weren't going to be able to continue the way we were going. Because, of course, what we were seeing was games were being postponed right, left, and centre. I mean, we had that, the round of fixtures on Saturday, the 9th of January, and initially that was meant to be the Irish Cup. Obviously, that didn't happen for other reasons. Then you have a round of Premiership fixtures that is thrown into the mix. A number of them are postponed because of positive COVID tests at the various clubs, and that's not going to go away. You know, testing will perhaps eliminate some of those postponements, but it won't completely eliminate them. So it's still going to be a patchy season going forward. We're still going to have teams are still going to miss fixtures even with the testing. But it is a step in the right direction, and I think the most important thing is that the testing will hopefully help keep our players a little bit safer and allow them to go into each fixture with a little bit more confidence.
Yeah, and indeed the referees and the officials as well, you know, who sometimes are forgotten about in these conversations.
Absolutely, and I mean, I think the referees have made their voice heard through the various channels that exist to say that, you know, we're not necessarily happy with the way things are going. And if you want this to continue, they were certainly a vocal presence in the sense that they want testing, and now we've got that for at least the next 4 weeks. So I think it's a positive thing all around.
Because when you think of social distancing, and I know people talk about tackling and headers and penalty areas, but you're probably not around the same player for too long on a football pitch. Hopefully you're moving on it. Whereas referees are like magnets, aren't they? People come, and when you go over to a referee, it's usually not to have a nice quiet word. So you can imagine how uncomfortable this season has perhaps been for referees. And I'll hold my hands up and say, I never really considered it until they spoke out. And it's a really valid concern.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you say it yourself, match officials are kind of the forgotten group in Irish League football. You know, they don't have a big social media presence, and they don't have supporters who are concerned for them. You know, they kind of have to fight their own corner, and I think they've done that well in this instance in terms of making their opinion heard. Like you say, yes, they are exposed at points, and perhaps felt quite vulnerable, and I can understand that. I think we're in a good place now, and it's good that match officials will be tested as well as the 12 Premiership teams.
Some critics online are asking the question, is this further proof that the Championship and other leagues have been forgotten about? Because here we are, the Premiership can get testing, and yet other leagues don't even know if they're definitely going ahead.
Well, there's no doubt there's a great deal of anger and a great deal of bitterness among the 12 Championship clubs and indeed the 11 Premier Intermediate clubs. It's been a horrific time for those teams. A time of great uncertainty is perhaps one of the best ways to look at it, because not only have they not played, and they haven't had any form of competitive games since October. Now, I think there's a couple of regional cup competitions played in December, but we actually haven't even had a league fixture for Championship clubs since March, so that's a long time to go without a league game. But like I say, it's not been a case of, you know, when this all started in March, there was a clear announcement came out that said, you know, it's going to be a long time before the Championship and PIL non-elite football is going to be back. It's been a very much an on-off situation, where, you know, the Championship, to take it as an example, although this applies to all levels of football, right down to your park football, the Championship was due to start in October. That was suspended. That was delayed because of the ban on non-elite sport. A new date was set and fixtures were brought out for November the 26th, and it was all set to go on November the 26th. That ban on elite sport was extended. Then clubs were actually allowed to come back and start training and start playing pre-season friendlies in the middle of December, just before Christmas. Then, obviously, we had the cases in Northern Ireland shot up and fears around the various easing of restrictions around the Christmas period kicked in. And from Boxing Day on, once again, the ban on non-elite sport was reintroduced, and there was actually a date the league was supposed to start in January, and then that was kicked back. So you've had a situation where you've had dates for the league to start in October, then November, and then January, and they've all been kicked back. And that's an incredibly frustrating thing if you're involved in a Championship club or a PIL club or an amateur league club, whatever it happens to be, because you're getting your players onto the training pitch, you're physically preparing them, you're lining up friendlies, you're playing friendlies, you're building towards this date. In the back of your mind, you're saying to yourself, well, this probably isn't going to happen, but you know that you have to prepare for that date, because if you don't, and you're caught short with it, then if it goes ahead and you haven't prepared properly, you know, your team could be embarrassed very quickly. And that's actually happening at the moment, because the Championship, or should I say the ban on non-elite sport, is due to be eased, is due to be removed on the 6th of February. Now, you know, and I know, and all the listeners know, that the chances of that actually happening are next to none. But Championship managers and PIL managers feel the need to prepare for that date on February the 6th, because if it does go ahead on February the 6th and they haven't prepared, then they're going to have some problems. So it's an incredibly tough time for Championship clubs. I think that people lose sight of some of the other issues where you could think that a Championship club would have a sponsor for a season, and they've probably taken money off that company in advance for their shirt sponsor. I mean, that shirt sponsor has not got value for money the whole way through this campaign, because their club isn't playing, so they're just not getting anything from it. And there's various small details like that I think have been forgotten about in all this. And at some point, somewhere down the line, you know, people talk about there being money coming available for clubs who've struggled throughout this virus. Championship and PIL clubs should be well up the list for getting some sort of compensation, because it's been a really difficult time for them.
And they were already looking at having a curtailed season. They haven't even been able to start that shortened season. How likely is it, Keith, that they're going to be able to start at all?
Well, it's a very fair question. I suppose to take it from the top, the Championship season was to be a 38-game season. That was reduced very early on when the non-elite football ban came in. It was cut from 38 to what was at the time seen as a very manageable 22. I mean, there were arguments at the time about whether it should be 22 or 27 or maybe 33. In the end, they went for 22, and now that seems massively ambitious. If you were to take the best case scenario that the restrictions on non-elite football were eased on February the 6th, which is very wishful thinking, the teams would need, I'm sure, 2, maybe 3, maybe 4 weeks of preseason training. So it would probably be the start of March before you got back to playing actual league fixtures. If the season ends on the 31st of May, you throw in the Irish Cup, then you've got, what, 2-3 entire months. I think that's maybe 12 Saturdays there to play every fixture. So even there, you can only get it done if you play Saturday, Tuesday the whole way through from March to May. That's a massive, massive ask for part-time and in some cases amateur footballers. You know, realistically, that's not going to happen. So you're going to have to look at a reduced format of some description. Now, probably what's interesting is there's been a lot of talk about an 11 game league, which the championship would be everybody playing each other once. Now, that raises questions about, you know, is that competition devalued? Is it fair to have the winners of that league only an 11 game league being promoted to the Premiership? Maybe more relevantly, is it actually fair for the team who finishes last in that championship season to be relegated to the PIL and vice versa with the PIL team being promoted to the championship? You know, an 11 game league it would actually be quite exciting in many ways, but it's an incredibly short season. Now, the thinking behind this is, I'm sure some people are listening going, what on earth are you talking about? We're not going to get any football played this season. Listen, as you mentioned at the top of the show, Michael, the R rate is going down. And with that, you would expect that cases would come down and eventually deaths would come down. The logic is, for non-elite football, that things will improve to a point that will allow us to play some sort of football, you know, later in this current football season. And you can see that logic is what is driving the IFA at the moment, because if you read some of the comments from David Martin in the press over the weekend, you know, he is determined to play the Irish Cup, but not just the Irish Cup. He's also talking about playing the Intermediate Cup and the Junior Cup, which seems incredibly wishful thinking to me. But there's a clear thought process running through football at the moment, both at IFA level and at NIFL level, and even some of the junior leagues or the intermediate leagues like the amateur league, that, you know, this situation, as grim as it seems now and as horrible as it is, seeing, you know, 17, 18 deaths a day, that things will improve and there will be scope to have some football around the March, April, May. So while somebody like Warren Patton, the arts chairman, is saying it's time to give up on the season, I don't get the vibe from the powers that be, the football's governing bodies, that they're in any rush to do that. I think this will drag on for some time yet, and we will live on and hope that the conditions will be better and that we will be able to have some sort of reduced season.
Just a reminder for our listeners, we'll be able to hear the ARD's chairman on the programme shortly. He's coming up, so make sure you stay tuned for that. It's a thing true of leaders, isn't it, Keith, that, you know, ultimately they're judged by their decisions. And I guess what a time to be running for the vice president of FIFA when you're making calls and you're backing and you're betting on football to keep going in Northern Ireland. If that doesn't happen, does that hurt his other ambitions as well, David Martin? Or conversely, if all his plans fall into place, does it make him a shoo-in compared to the other UK representatives? You go, here's the man that was able to preserve games that other people were trying to get rid of.
Well, I would imagine that his counterparts from the other FAs are probably faced with similar problems and similar situations. I don't know how much of a bearing that will have. FIFA is an organisation that works in its own ways, and you know, it's all about influence and the people you know in important positions. I'm not sure how much relevance that will have on it. It'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, David Martin, a lot of people are critical of him. A lot of people in football don't have a lot of time for him. I've dealt with him on a number of occasions, and I've always found him very pleasant and amenable to deal with, in fairness to him. Of course, that doesn't mean that you deserve a position at FIFA, the world governing body. It'll be interesting to see what way that pans out. Obviously, Northern Ireland has been well represented at FIFA over the years. We had Harry Calvin in the past and Jimmy Boyce, of course, he was also in that role. So it'll be fascinating to see where it pans out. I don't think it'll have a massive impact on football in Northern Ireland either way. I think it'll just be a nice thing or a disappointment for David Martin.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, the decision to try and keep the cup competitions on, because, you know, people think that isn't a decision if you say, let's wait and see. But everything's a decision ultimately, because you could call it. Other regional FAs are starting to make those decisions now themselves, aren't they, within their jurisdictions? You know, sadly, the Steel and Sons Cup, for example, has been lost this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great shame. The Steel and Sons Cup is a competition which has an incredible heritage. That kind of mystique around the Steel and Sons Cup is probably largely based on the Christmas Day final, which is one of the most special occasions in the football calendar. Obviously, that's long gone. So I think that when they came to this decision earlier in the week, I think it was the right decision. It was an inevitable decision. And the County Antrim FA made the right call. fair play to them for that one. It's a different situation for the Irish FA. The Irish Cup, it's something that they're desperate to keep on. You know, it has a phenomenal tradition that's been played every year for 100+ years. It also has a pathway to Europe. I think it's right that the IFA fight to keep that competition going. I think it would be, I've heard other people say that if we can only have 12 teams in it, we should scrap it. That's not something I necessarily agree with. I think that if we can play the Irish Cup, we should play it in some format, and it should retain its European position. It's a prestigious event, and it would be a great shame if it was cancelled completely. Whether or not the 20 non-league clubs that are in the first round draw will be able to participate is a case of wait and see. Obviously, from what David Martin's saying, as you've alluded to, Michael, you know, it's going to be a case of wait and see. They're going to try and hold out for as long as possible to see if they can get all 32 teams. Well, it's not all 32 teams. Of course, the Irish Cup is usually a competition of around 130. But if we can get those 32 teams into it, I think they will wait and see, and they'll wait as long as they can. If that can't happen, you probably see a reduced 12-team competition, which would be very, very sad. But, you know, lots of things have changed in this country. So, you know, why should the Irish Cup be above that? The two other competitions, well, three if you count the Harry Calvin Youth Cup, I have to say that trying to save the Intermediate Cup, the Junior Cup, and the Youth Cup is incredibly optimistic. I just don't see how that's going to happen. You know, if you look at the Intermediate Cup, it's a huge competition. You know, there's over 100 teams in your average year. Many of those teams have not played a game at all this season. Will they be willing to even compete if it is on? That probably depends whether their own league's up and running. If we're in a privileged position where we do get intermediate football back later in the season, as in March, April, the Intermediate Cup's not going to be anybody's priority. Those clubs that are back would rather focus on their own league. For example, let's take the PIL. Will clubs like Bangor and Distillery, who are chasing promotion to the Championship, if that's possible, you know, where are they going to really want to enter and play in the Intermediate Cup and participate in the competition that potentially throws up 7 fixtures? You know, I think we're at a point where you could probably call time in the Intermediate and Junior Cup. It's just not going to happen.
And what I think listening to this, people will be getting a sense of, Keith, is just how complicated this all is in terms of some of the decisions. Now, I know some people might just go, well, simplistically, scrap everything, preserve a few things, there's your easy out, what are we all discussing? But when you look at competitions and you're determined to keep them on, you can see how there's so many big questions to be answered. If the Championship and PIL go ahead, how can you make sure that there's integrity in the results of those leagues to honour promotion and relegation? How can you put a team in a position to be relegated, say, for example, into the Championship, if you can't guarantee the Championship will be able to continue next season? All these sorts of things where people have to sit down and try and iron them out. And in that sense, I don't envy anybody in the IFA or in NIFA.
No, I mean, it is incredibly tough. And I think that we need to, you know, it's very easy to criticise the IFA and it's very easy to criticise NIFA. It's something that I try not to do too often because, you know, it just is they're difficult jobs and they're having to make incredibly difficult decisions at this moment in time. So I'm always worried of being critical, but you know, I think some leadership could be shown in certain areas. And I think, as I've just mentioned, maybe cancelling the likes of the Intermediate Cup and the Junior Cup might be a step in the right direction. To look at the broader picture, you know, you're going to speak to Warren Patton, the arts chairman, later in the show, who I know is a fan of the idea of avoiding the season at a Championship level and essentially non-elite level. You know, that's a fairly persuasive argument, because what it does is it removes all doubt. It means that every person in football in Northern Ireland beneath the Premier League knows exactly where they stand, and they know that they're not going to be playing any competitive or at least meaningful in terms of promotion and relegation football until August, and that would hopefully give us all the opportunity to take stock. You know, hopefully the virus would come under a bit more control in the months leading up to August. Hopefully more and more of us will have vaccines, if not all of us, by August, and then it would almost be a clean start. I think that's a very persuasive argument. You know, it's certainly a very valid point. The alternative is to keep going with what we're doing now, and it's that constant uncertainty and that constant this debate that you and I are having now about what's to happen with the Intermediate Cup, what's to happen with the PIL, what's to happen with the Championship. You know, that's been rumbling. That whole thing has been going since, August of last year. And, you know, and it could keep going and rolling right the whole way through February and March until things become clear. And it's draining. It's draining for a lot of people in football. It's draining for players. You know, like you and I, Michael, and maybe a lot of our listeners are quite interested in the finer detail of this and why this is happening, why that's happening. A lot of footballers don't think that way. They don't care. They just want to be able to play football or know that they're not going to play football. And they've never really had that certainty. It's this constant, you know, in between. And that thing that we've had where clubs have trained only to be told that their league isn't going to happen on two separate occasions, that's really damaging. I don't think that should be underestimated, how difficult that is for players. You know, football is a big part of people's lives, and it's a release for people. And whether this is at Championship level or whether this is at down area reserve League Two level, you know, you look forward to your football on Saturday, and then to build towards it as if it's going to happen and have them taken away from you at the last minute, that's tough. We don't want that again. You know, if we're in a position to start back, whether that's in February, whether that's in March, we need to know that. We need to be as confident as we possibly can be that there won't be any more interruptions, because it's just a life-draining situation for people. It's hard to deal with.
And that's one of the things I'm going to be asking the Arts chairman about. You know, you're in a transfer window. You haven't played in ages. How on earth do you keep hold of players who just want to get back playing football? And there'll be some Premiership clubs sniffing around for players at the moment. So, I mean, there's just one of many things that they're having to cope with. On cup competitions, the other one, obviously, the League Cup, we were told there'd be a decision in January. We're still in January, so that decision could still come within the month. I'm not suggesting that they're late on that, but is it fair to say that it's looking increasingly unlikely the League Cup's going to fit in, or is this another cup competition that we're going to see potentially postponed again?
Well, I mean, I think it's almost certain it's going to be postponed. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you know, you look at the current fixture list for the Danske Bank Premiership teams, and it's already very tight. You're already, where are you getting those 38 games in? It already looks very difficult. We're going to go back on January the 23rd, and the intention at that point will be to play all 38 games, and will be to complete the Irish Cup. You know, that is going to end up with an awful lot of midweek fixtures between now and the end of May. Throw the League Cup in there, whether that's it would almost certainly be a 12 team competition, but you know, you're throwing like four rounds fixtures in there as a minimum, that are unnecessary. And that's not to be disrespectful to the League Cup, but the League Cup doesn't provide a European place. It doesn't provide, you know, in previous years it used to provide a place in the Stanley Cup. That's not there anymore, obviously. You know, there's nothing really comes from it other than the pleasure and the prestige that comes with winning the trophy. So I think it's an obvious candidate. Perhaps one thing that we haven't really talked about, Michael, and one thing that is a possibility here, is that we could see the season extended into the summer. Now, obviously, that happened last year. To a lesser extent, we had the Irish Cup semi-finals and final, as well as Intermediate Cup and the Junior Cup, and a few other cup competitions played out in the summer. You know, that's another possibility, that the sort of the old May 31st date could be kicked down and we could be extended into June and July, and that would perhaps allow for the League Cup to take place. That would perhaps allow for a more thorough Championship and PIL season to take place, and an Intermediate Cup and all those sorts of things to be finished. That's probably, you know, that's very likely. The IFA have done that, did that last season, so why would they not consider doing it again? Obviously, the problem with that is, the knock-on effect of that is that it affects the following season. And you'd either need to keep extending the season out, so we end up with an almost, you know, a quasi summer season, or you would need to reduce the following season. So, you know, if you give more time to this season, you're inevitably taken away from the next season. So it's complicated, but that's something that I wouldn't rule out.
One of the things I was surprised to learn in the last week or so, and anyone that follows me on Twitter maybe saw part of this conversation. Believe me, there was a lot more of it off Twitter. But the curtailment plans, which you know all the Premiership clubs are signed up to, would allow an instance where, because there's various stages to this, as I know you're aware, but the 22-game option, it doesn't actually matter that you might have played twice at home or twice away to somebody and never done the reverse of whatever scenario was true in your instance. So in theory, for example, Linfield might have played more home games than Glentoran in those 22 matches, and that would still be the league table as it stands after 22 games, regardless of whether it's an even split, one game against everyone home, one game against everyone away. And when I saw that, to be honest, it surprised me, because I thought it's not quite a fair test. The clubs have agreed to it, but I don't know if supporters would be too happy if you miss out by a point or two here or there to your nearest rivals who actually have got an extra home game than you.
Yeah, I mean, and on top of that, listen, I haven't got the details in front of me here, but you know, some teams will have played the same team at home twice. Would I be right in saying that Lorne have had two home games
against
Ballymena? So, you know, it's not perfect. You know, a lot of people have been complaining, a lot of people have been saying, listen, why did NIFL not think of this in advance, and why did they not build the season in such a way that this wouldn't happen, that you would have, you know, Ballymena would play, well, Lorne would play once at the Showgrounds and once in Inver before the 22 split. There's quite a lot that goes into creating the fixture list. You know, one of the essential aspects of it is that is Boxing Day fixtures. We like to have our derbies on Boxing Day, as we know, and it's important that it's the reverse in terms of home and away as to what it was the previous year. We also, it's important that that each team does get a home game over the Christmas period to maximize the gates. This is of course laughable, because these games didn't happen in the end, and if they did, there wouldn't be fans at it. But you know, these are considered. We put the fixture list together. Also, there's factors we brought in terms of international football. We know that nowadays more and more games are called off because under 21 call-ups and under 19 call-ups, and you've also got Linfield, obviously Windsor Park host our national team, and that has to be factored into the fixture list. You know, obviously Northern had several games at Windsor Park in the first half of the season. So the idea of drawing up a very simple 1970s style home and away, everybody plays each other an even amount of times fixture list, you know, it's more complicated and it's more difficult than you might think looking at it. Now, if you want to play devil's advocate, if you want to look at it a different way, you could make the argument that considering the circumstances that we were in, perhaps Northern Ireland Football League might have said, listen, those things that I've just mentioned, we're not going to worry about those things this year. We're just going to have a straightforward, the first 22 are going to be the old fashioned way. That might have been very sensible, but you can guarantee if they had announced that at the time that people would have complained about, you know, Christmas fixtures not being the way they should have been. So I can understand that it is more complicated than people might think. There's obviously a lot of factors to consider, and it is quite difficult. But yes, your general point is right there, Michael, that if we end up with the curtailment being kicked in after 22 rounds of fixtures, some teams will have played more home games than others, and some teams will have played the same team twice at home, and that probably isn't fair. In fact, definitely isn't fair. There's no doubt about it. What I would say that is the Danske Bank Premiership doesn't actually achieve that equality anyway. If we play out a full 38 game season, the league splits after 33. Naturally, within that, some teams have played 17 home games and other teams will have played 16 home games. So it already isn't fair. Then if you take the league on and you play the 38 fixtures, including the split, you know, it's, again, like that gap can actually, you know, it can be expanded upon. We had, wasn't it Crusaders that played all five games away from home after the split one year? Did that happen?
Right.
Yeah. So the Irish League, in a sense, already doesn't achieve that level of equality between home and away games. So, you know, we already kind of accept that in a way. It isn't ideal. You're quite right. At the 22 game mark, it would have been a lot cleaner if everybody played each other once at home and once away, but that's not the way it is. And I suppose they're at the situation now where they're they have to deal with the hand that they're dealt. I mean, you talk about 22 being the point where it could be curtailed. It can be curtailed at 27 games. It can be curtailed at 33 games. 27 league fixtures, you know, some teams will have played some teams three times and some teams two times. You know, if you're in a relegation battle and you've played Linfield, Coleraine and Larne three times but only played Warren Point twice, you're probably going to be quite annoyed about that. But, you know, that's the way it's going to pan out. That's the way it could potentially pan out if it's curtailed at 27, which is well possible. This isn't going to be clean. You know, if we can't get the full 38 games in, or we can't get at least 33 in, this isn't going to be clean.
And it probably is important to stress that the clubs have signed up to this. So ultimately, whatever anybody else thinks, kind of a moot point at this stage.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they've all, the 12 clubs have signed up to it doesn't necessarily mean it's the right decision, but it means that a consensus has been reached, and this is what we're dealing with. It's a really difficult time for these clubs. It's a really difficult time for the governing bodies, and compromises have to be made across the board, and a certain element of fairness is probably, you know, it was certainly sacrificed last year to get things done. And if we can't get the 38 games in again this season, then a certain level of fairness will again be sacrificed. That's just the way it is, unfortunately.
I think the one thing we can all agree on is when we're able to safely get supporters back in proper numbers, that will be a wonderful thing, because there isn't anybody that hasn't felt that the games just don't have the same magic or power or meaning to them without the sound and the atmosphere and everything that goes into the crowd, even some of the bad stuff, as strange as that might be. You know, you miss that bit of abuse. Players have said that. It's strange not being abused on a Saturday. You definitely miss the encouragement and the sound of a last-minute winner. The goal that Josh Robinson scored against Cliftonville, and sorry for Cliftonville fans for reminding you of that particular instance, but that was something that sort of stuck in my head, going, just what a lovely sound that is when that happens. Yeah. And hopefully next season will be a season where we have a lot more of that. But the coming months, as you've already alluded to, it seems unfortunately quite unlikely, Keith.
Yeah, it's a really difficult time. Like I said earlier on, you know, what do we love the Irish League football? Why do we go to it on a Saturday afternoon? Why does it mean so much to us? You know, it isn't because of the standard of play, because if that's what we were really concerned about, we would, you know, we'd watch the Liga and the Premier League every week instead on TV. It's that sense of community. It's that sense of being with your friends. It's that ability to get out of the house and away from your normal environment and have a drink or just have a chat with your friends that you've maybe known for years. And that's what we've lost. And that's a really sad thing, and I think it's really difficult. You know, there's a lot of very lonely Irish League fans at the moment. Everybody in society is feeling lonely, but if you're somebody who is used to getting out of the house on a Saturday, maybe the odd Tuesday, you know, losing that is difficult. It's a difficult thing to deal with. I don't think we should underestimate that. And I think it's important for clubs and for fans to stay in touch with their other fans through whatever means that you can, and have a little bit of interaction with people, because let's not forget, you know, you and I, Michael, and lots of your listeners are on, you know, are on the internet. We're communicating with people via social media. We're doing what we can. Like, the Irish League has a lot of elderly fans, and like, they, quite a lot of them, without wanting to be insulting, like, a lot of them won't be using the streaming services because they just don't have access to that sort of thing, or they don't know how it works. You know, Irish League football has become something that's just reported in the newspapers for them. It's a really lonely, difficult time for people, and it's sad, and it's going to take a while for us to get back to normal. But when we do, we will appreciate football in Northern Ireland all the more for it, hopefully.
Yeah, we certainly will. Well, this first segment of the programme certainly felt like a bit of a love letter to the league. It's an imperfect family, as we've seen. We're going through a bit of a tough patch. We're all working together to try and get it sorted. And hopefully we know answers and we hear answers for the Championship, the PIL and other leagues in the next few weeks, because they more than anyone need them. We've seen, and we commend the IFA and the Northern Ireland Football League for the measures put in place for the Premiership players. We now need to see some more details for the rest of football. But for now, Keith Bailey, sports editor of the County Down Spectator and Nytnard's Chronicle. Thank you for coming on to The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Now on the programme, we can welcome another guest. Yes, it is time to hear from the chairman of Ards Football Club. He is Warren Patton, and he's on the line now. Warren, thank you for coming on to the show.
Thank you, Michael. You're more than welcome.
It's good to talk to you again. The crazy thing with football at the minute is you go so long without seeing and talking to people. I bumped into someone at a game over Christmas time, and I thought, oh, it's been a while since I've seen you. And then I went, it's been a year, actually. And we're all kind of still come to terms with that reality. It's been weird.
Yeah, well, first of all, you're lucky that you were able to bump into somebody at a football match over Christmas. That's something that we have been missing in our life for the past 5-6 months. We have had one proper game. So we have since, two, Distillery and Glentoran since the start of the season, and obviously not being allowed into football over the festive period and Premier League matches. I haven't saw a match all year.
And what is that like, just on a human level? Forget the chairman side of it for a moment. I mean, you're always at football games. How do you cope not being at them?
Well, what a lot of people seem to forget, but, you know, shall you be a board member or a chairman? It just basically means you're a supporter of football. You're a supporter of the club that you're chairing. And it's no different from myself. You know, I'm just a real football man through and through. My son, my late father, every single Saturday, we would be at the match. And you take that out of your life after a working week, there's a big gap and void left.
It shows you what football brings to communities. And I'm sure your supporters have found it very difficult to have such a long period without a team to follow.
Most definitely. You know, shall I be walking through the town or something or out working, you would bump into the odd supporter and they're always asking you. And of course, it's nice to see them too, because you would be used to seeing them every week at the match. We would be quite a community club. So we would, yes, our support is quite aging, so they are, but it's still nice to see them out and about, and they're definitely voicing their opinion. They're missing it badly as well.
Yeah, I'm sure. When you look at, you know, coming in as chairman in the summer, you'd have hoped that a lot of this would have been sorted out by now. And, you know, it's the way it's gone. It's been so frustrating for everyone. We'd all hoped way back in March that this was going to be a few months and then it was done. That hasn't been the case.
No, it's definitely seemed to have worsened. So it has since the summer. The first lockdown back in March and April, it was a bit of a novelty for everybody, wasn't it? The weather was nice and everybody was outside. And we definitely didn't think that we were going to be nearly a year down the line and we would still be in the same position, and if not worse.
And as we know, there had been a hope that the championship would have resumed. There's been a couple of false dawns. The most recent one was obviously getting started in January at the start of the month, having an Irish Cup fixture. You were due to play at home on the 9th of January against Dollingstown. As we know, that didn't happen. And we're still looking and going, if and when will the championship start?
Well, I think that's why I've went to the press this week and voiced my opinion. It's very hard to run the club from the top and deal with the manager on a day-to-day basis and set your stall out, you know, to be starting on a certain date. I think this could possibly be the third time we have set the date, and it's very hard and becoming challenging and impossible. I think I worked it out there the other day. We've probably missed about 24 weeks of the football. So we have, you know, five months. So we have, I think it could be 22 or 23 Saturdays that we've missed.
And that's devastating. We know the impact on communities and supporters, but from a financial perspective as well, how do clubs survive with that?
It's tough, let me tell you. It's tough to survive whenever you are playing football, and whenever it's not there, it becomes even more challenging, because you've got the social club, which is closed, so we've no income there, and our fundraising is also finished. So where we are fortunate enough is we would have the league, we have 21-22% of the league's professional players, so we're fortunate where we can have them on furlough. So that has been a bit of a help for us, so it has.
And I guess that's been a logistical nightmare for everybody to try and get to grips with these schemes, and I'm sure people outside of football listening to this can relate to it as well, whether you've availed of the scheme as an employer or as an employee, trying to figure out, if we do this, will this impact furlough? And that's a a whole different side to business that football clubs probably haven't had to tap into before, understanding the legalities of this brand new scheme.
Most definitely. It's never anything that a couple of our directors who have been on the board with myself for a long time ever thought that they would have to deal with. Probably with my business knowledge and my vice chairman, we were fortunate enough to know a bit about the furlough scheme, so it has definitely helped us. But, you know, it's not everything. It's a little help, but it's not everything. But as for playing behind closed doors, like Premier League, etc., we just couldn't do that there. If that was to happen to ours, it could be the writing on the wall within a few months, I would say.
And that's where we're at now, because what you have come out and said, and what I want to kind of understand a bit better, is you want the season, essentially, just draw a line under it now. It's not going to start. It's not going to happen. Let's look to the future, basically. Am I paraphrasing correctly?
Yes, in a way you are. Like, at the end of the day, I'm the new kid in the block to this here game, and I'm certainly not telling the hierarchies or the people in powers above me what to do. This is just my personal opinion. You know, we're now talking, we're now due to start here, I think, the first or second week in February, if it's going to go ahead, which I definitely don't think it will. We're still going to be coming out of the lockdown. We haven't trained. So, you know, if it goes to the end of February, the league needs to be over by the third week in May. So how are we meant to be pushing in 22 games, Irish Cup? It's just virtually impossible. So it is. We're also in the middle of a transfer window too. You've got clubs sniffing around our players, wanting to speak to our players. You've our manager, who's on the phone to me every day, wanting to strengthen the team too. But we don't know where we are.
Yeah, and I guess every club's in that position. And I know I've spoken to a few championship managers and I've definitely heard that sentiment. You know, how do we bolster our squad when we're not playing? We're not bringing any money in. So how can we do that safely? And also, how do we stop our best players going somewhere else? They have gone so long without playing football. In a sense, who could blame them wanting to do anything they could just to get back on a pitch?
Definitely, Michael. You know, There's plenty of quality, good caliber players knocking around the championship, as there is good quality teams. And certainly teams that have been struggling in and around the Premier League, down around the foot of the table, of course they're going to want the top players out of the championship. And I'm sure other clubs in the championship have noticed that, which you've said, because we have certainly had a few clubs looking at our players and wanting to tap them up and stuff like that. So it's hard for us to hold on to the boys because we've got nothing for them. We can't even train. We haven't got a date. You know, sorry, we have got a date, but the date's been cancelled that many times. I don't think they know where they are.
And, you know, I know there's been a bit of a coming together of the minds in the championship, and there was a push for elite status, and there was a real hope, I think, wasn't there, just before Christmas, that that was going to be granted. We now know that obviously it wasn't, and that's why the Irish Cup couldn't start. Has that kind of led people giving up hope a little bit, do you think? Was there hope a month ago, and is that gone now?
Look, it depends, you know, on what side, what camp you're in. You know, did you want it to go elite or not go elite? You know, at the end of the day, we voted against going elite. So we did, because of certain circumstances where, i.e. playing behind closed doors, we wouldn't be in a position to do that. But again, we would have followed suit if the league had been made elite. So be it. That, you know, we would have followed suit and carried on. But it is what it is. You know, the hierarchies and the powers in football will make those decisions, not us at ours.
No, very much so. What would you say to your supporters listening to this? Because I'm sure it'd be, you know, tough in a way to think there may not be a season. You know, obviously, your personal opinion is there probably shouldn't be at this stage.
What I could say to the supporters is, you know, I don't really know what to say. You know, I'm missing it as much as they are. You know, there's nothing more we would love than to get back out there on a Saturday and get the ball rolling and start the camaraderie of seeing all the supporters and our friends every Saturday, and of course the players. But look, listen, there's more important things in life at the minute. You know, this pandemic seems to be getting worse, especially in around this area where we are, down around Arts and the Lower Peninsula. It's rife with it at the minute. The hospitals are under severe pressure. You look at the Premier League, they're not getting tested, you know, so there's no way as a championship player is going to get tested. You know, these players are going home to families, they're going home to children, if they go to work, there's more to life at the minute than football, let's be honest.
That is a big challenge, and I know that the Northern Ireland Football League and the Irish Football Association have agreed to testing. Do you think from Ard's perspective, there's no chance of return unless it's put in place for you? I know bubbling's a different issue, but what about the testing?
The testing, of course, it would be great to see if it was to come into the football and if we were to go ahead. Certainly, if we were made to go ahead, I would like to think that the testing will be in place. I certainly would like to think that the Premier League was getting tested and the Championship was forgotten about and expected to play. That certainly wouldn't be the case. But, you know, if we're set to go for a date and it does happen, I can trust you now, Arts will be ready. We're ready to go. So we are, yes, we haven't trained, but we'll be ready to go.
And we're all just waiting to hear about what's going on with the cup competitions too, aren't we? I mean, what's your personal view on that? Can you see the Irish Cup happening? Are you going to have a home game against Dollingstown to look forward to?
It's in the Irish Cup. It's the highlight of the season, you know, for every football supporter and player, I'm sure, too. You know, whether you know, certainly in my years at the board at Ards, hasn't been great, to be honest. I think we've went out in the fifth round nearly every single year, you know. But, like, listen, it's great to get the cup played, but again, being realistic, is it that important? Yes, I've read a report in the Sunday Life last week about the history of the club, and it's went through two world wars, and it would be a sin for it not to be played this year. Again, I emphasise, if it's a matter of life or death, surely to goodness, 1 year without it being played won't harm anything.
Some people have said, well, what about just let the Premiership clubs tip away at it, basically? What would your view be on that? A cup competition which has already been cut down to 32 being cut down to 12?
Personal opinion, if that's what it is, that's what it is. I don't think there'll be much of a competition if that was the case. It's a bit like the FA Cup. The speciality of the cup is lower teams and maybe getting a draw against a big team, or maybe a lower team knocking out a big team. That's the Irish Cup magic. So it is. If it was going to be a battle of the big boys, the 12 Premier League clubs, you know, I don't know. Is that the way forward? That's for the powers of football to sort out.
Is this an opportunity to maybe look at changing the dates of the season? You know, if they were to say to you, let's trial a summer league, the Championship are going to be our guinea pigs, but it got you back playing competitive football sooner, would you vote for it?
This has been talked about for several years now, and I think there last year we did have a vote on it, and it was a split vote within our own board. You know, some wanted, some didn't want it. My personal view for summer football, would I want it? Personally, I don't think I would, but if it was the case to go ahead, I would go with the flow. The reason I wouldn't want it is because obviously kids are off school, people's out of the country and stuff like that in summertime, but I think it makes sense too to try it.
Yeah, I think this is certainly a time when people will be a bit more open-minded than normal because of everything we've been through. We're all just desperate to try and find solutions. And I know chairmen across the country, across the clubs and the different leagues, have been working so hard to try and obviously keep their clubs afloat, first of all, which is just a horrible position to be in, but also to try and find answers to some of these big questions that people have really struggled with. So I do take my hat off to you and to your colleagues at other clubs, because I know that this has just been the most unenjoyable time probably you could have ever imagined.
Yeah, definitely. It's not enjoyable one bit. So it's not. It's very challenging. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So you don't, as I said earlier off the call, you know, I'm in business and it's no different than running a business. So it's not, you don't know what tomorrow's, you don't know what's going to be in front of you come tomorrow. So you don't. And, you know, definitely too, Niffl, fair play to Niffl too, you know, because I'm sure they're finding things challenging. They don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, and when they're trying to make these decisions, they don't know if they're going to be right. They don't know if they're going to be wrong. So they're trying their best too. So they are, you know, so I tip my hat to them as well. But unfortunately, it's just challenging every day. And to try and run a football club, it's virtually impossible at Championship level.
Yeah, I think we're definitely all feeling that at the moment. And maybe with the weather not being as good and things like that as well, it's easy to kind of get a bit down. But hopefully with the rollout of vaccines, hopefully we're in a period now where the next couple of months things are going to get progressively better and better, and then maybe down the line we can learn a few lessons from everything we've been through here. But let's try and stay positive. I appreciate you coming on the show, Warren, and talking to us today. That is Warren Patton, the chairman of Ards Football Club.
Thank you, Michael.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Lovely to hear from Warren Patton on The Score, the Ards chairman, giving his thoughts. Let us know what you think. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for The Score NI. And also, this programme, like every week, available as a podcast. If you're already listening to the podcast, reach over your shoulder, give yourself a wee pat on the back. If you've never done that before, check it out. We're available wherever you get your podcasts, and it's a great way for you to catch up with everything going on. Before we finish, I want to do a couple of quick shout-outs. Good luck to Gavin White on his move to Hull from Cardiff City. That's a loan deal, smart bit of business, I think, by Grant McCann. Also, Derry City have got David Parkhouse back. This time it's a 3-year deal. He'd previously been at the Candy Stripes on loan. He's at his hometown club where he's, I guess, hoping to get some regular football and make a name for himself, to give him the chance to get back across the water at some stage. I think that's a deal that will suit all parties. So fingers crossed for Parkhouse to pick up where he left off the last time he was at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. And he's, of course, a Northern Ireland Under-21 international. We want to see him do well. Well done to Brad Lyons, making a bit of history. He's already played in the Irish Cup, the Scottish Cup. He's now played in the FA Cup. That after he debuted at Stamford Bridge, coming off the bench for his loan club, Morecambe. He, of course, is at Blackburn Rovers, but on loan at Morecambe, off the bench at Stamford Bridge. What a place to get a debut. So tremendous for him. Well done, Brad. And we hope it's the beginning of many exciting adventures in your career, and certainly in this spell in your career whilst you're at Morecambe. And I also want to make sure we give a special mention to Fran McCaffrey. You've probably seen the story in the news involving his dad. We hope he is on the mend, Fra, and we hope that all is well with your family. It was a terrible bit of news, and we had Fra on the show not that long ago. We've reached out to him and sent him our messages, but we want to make sure that we said on the programme too that our support is with Fra and his family. And that just leaves me with one thing left to say, and that is thank you for your company, and enjoy your weekend of sports. Not Northern Ireland sport, but it'll have to do. Take care of yourself. I'll speak to you next week. Bye-bye.